listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's Thursday, August 4th. I'm Pat Kreitlow, coming to you from beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and coming to us now from Los Angeles, California. National correspondent for Courier Newsroom, Kiev Akil. Somebody that I talk to throughout the day, relentlessly, continuously, but in a most two-dimensional way. Like everybody else with Courier Newsroom across the country at Up North News or any of our other places, we communicate through Slack and a couple of Zoom chats here and there. But otherwise, we don't get to have a conversation like this, Kia. So it's really good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. And thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's something I hope we can chat every now and then, because again, while at Up North News, and yesterday we talked to Isaac Constance from the Gander in Michigan, and we're going to talk to people from the Keystone in Pennsylvania and the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina and so forth. And while each of us, you know, has a state-based team working on the news, we are very fortunate that Kia and other folks also help take some of the national stories and, you know, explain them to us and shape them in ways that help us explain the state impact of what's going on. So we're going to talk a bit about some of the various things that are still either have rolled out of Congress, are rolling through Congress, still stuck in Congress, and, you know, why each one of them is important in their own way. But before we do that, we'll start with the events of this week, which took place by and large not in Washington, D.C., but in voting booths in several states. I always have to remind myself that, you know, everybody votes in November. That's when the general is. But the primary can be anywhere from, you know, May to September, pretty much, or at least August. Wisconsin's used to be in September, and then it was moved back to August 9th. But several other states voted just this past week. And we got some headlines out of those, Kia. We talked to Isaac yesterday about what's happening, what happened in Michigan, and we'll come back to it. But let's start with Arizona, and we'll talk to Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier a bit about that tomorrow. But let's get an overview. It was kind of a big day for Trump supporters and election deniers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. The entire Trump-endorsed slate of statewide candidates for governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and U.S. Senate all have either won or are on track to win right now. And so, you know, that shows that, you know, even though he's been out of office for, what, a year and a half, and, you know, is still the most controversial figure politically, his political endorsements are incredibly powerful with the Republican base. You know, you've got Carrie Lake, who's looks like she's going to be the candidate for governor, and she's, you know, a former TV news journalist.
The worst.
They really, apparently, can be. Yeah, she is not a traditional Republican in any sense of the word, although I guess that meaning has lost a little bit. That word has lost a little bit of meaning, but she is, you know, arguably the biggest election denier. Her and Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania are the two biggest election deniers running for governor in swing states. And, you know, she has supported a whole host of, you know, radical ideas on education, on gun safety, on everything. And then, you know, in the Senate race, Blake Masters is a former tech executive who's funded by Peter Thiel, who considers himself a populist and a nationalist, but, you know, wants to privatize Social Security, denies the 2020 election was fair, and, you know, hold all the way down. All these candidates are as Trumpian as it can get.
I should explain that when I mutter under my breath, you know, about former TV anchors and politics, I did it yesterday with Isaac, too, talking about Tudor Dixon, the, you know, former media personality turned candidate. And I feel like each time I need the little disclaimer sign, I should hope a little handheld sign with an arrow pointing to me, you know, former TV anchor. So I speak from experience. You know, none of these people should be allowed within, you know, a stone's throw of state office, but the voters let me in anyway for a time. And that's on the voters. Voters in Pennsylvania did earlier, their primary was earlier, put somebody in who, as I understand, he was on the grounds on January 6th on the Capitol grounds as well.
Yeah, Doug Mastriano, who's a state senator in Pennsylvania, and the gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party, was present at January 6th. He was outside the Capitol and, you know, claims he left before it was breached. But there's been some footage that shows, you know, he was there as police lines were broken. And he is a lot like, you know, one of those Trump candidates in Arizona, Mark Finchem, who's the Secretary of State nominee for the Republican Party. Finchem was also present on the outside Capitol on January 6th. Also a massive election denier who's tried to overturn the election results in Arizona, the same way Mastriano's done in Pennsylvania. So this is a trend. Mastriano was also endorsed by Trump, albeit late in the race. So unlike Kari Lake, who he endorsed, I believe it was last fall, Mastriano got Trump's endorsement fairly last minute and was already the favorite to be the nominee in Pennsylvania. And, you know, he is similar to Kari Lake, pretty extreme. He wants to, you know, cut education funding in half. He doesn't believe in climate change. He doesn't support gay marriage or gay couples adopting. And yeah, he wants to make every voter in Pennsylvania re-register. So it's a trend.
Yeah, it's quite a trend. And it really has played a role in whether the traditional Democratic headwinds are going to exist in the midterms as they typically do. And as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow we'll talk to Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier about that. We will also talk to Up North News reporter Christina Laurie about some of the uplifting stories that she is helping us out with. And our Wisconsin travel writer, Susan Lampert-Smith, will talk as well. I sense we'll probably focus a lot on her most recent story about Minocqua Brewing Company, which advertises itself as the least popular place in town. Kiev Akil is with us, and we will talk more about national stories with a Wisconsin impact coming up next. You're Up North.